Your Bible describes an unnamed prophet who will prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. This man is on the scene today. Learn how to prove the identity of that prophet next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The Apostle John wrote about a prophet, and he called him that prophet. And we have published a booklet that I have written, and it's been published 5 different times. It is about who is that prophet. It has been popular, and so we are thankful for that and like to continue to send out that booklet and related books to that. This man who is that prophet is going to deliver the final message to Jesus Christ when he returns. That's what your Bible says. Now, there's something that really adds to that, and that is that we have the new throne of David. It's on this earth, and this prophet has it. And here we have the very throne that he is going to present to Jesus Christ himself. Now, that makes it much more exciting. And if you are part of the first fruits, as those called and do God's work before the second coming, are going to share that throne with Jesus Christ. When you read about that and you study about that, you feel like, well, this is like a dream. It's like a dream we have. But it's not a dream, and it is reality. And we have a new booklet, New Throne of David booklet, that will explain that to you. That dream could be yours. Just depends on if we are teachable and like a babe, as Matthew 11 and verse 25 says. If you have that kind of humility, God might very well want to put you in that first fruits bracket. So we have to be urgent because time is running out. Time is short, and even Satan the devil knows that. In Revelation 12 and verse 12, it tells us that. We should know it too. Let me read to you from John 1 and verse 19. It says here, and this is the record of John the Baptist, when the Jews and the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." And then they said, "Are you that prophet?" And he answered, "No." This is John the Baptist talking now. And he said, "Oh, I'm not any of those." Of course, he prepared the way for the first coming of Jesus Christ. But here we have something all about Jesus Christ and Elijah and that prophet and the second coming of Jesus Christ. So they couldn't understand who this man was, but they knew something about that prophet. They even asked, "Well, are you him?" These Jews knew there was that prophet that was going to be the last one to come on the scene just before the Messiah returns or comes to this earth in power. You see, when the Jews saw him the first time, of course, they understand just one coming, that powerful coming of the Messiah. But he came on a mule, and that wasn't what they were seeking because they wanted freedom from the Romans. They wanted to be free. You look at Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6, and it talks about that Elijah, that type, or he's called Elijah today, is coming just before the great tribulation in the day of the Lord, which all of that lasts 3.5 years. So when the Jews ask about that prophet, somebody besides Elijah, they put him after Elijah's work. And that's the way it is in this end time. Verse 25 of John 1, "And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptize you then if you be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" What are you doing here baptizing people if you're not one of those individuals? Well, they didn't know much about John the Baptist, but they did know about that prophet, because he's going to be here to really present Jesus Christ to this earth in the second coming. So that prophet is a specific person. And this was all revealed to me, first of all, in 2001. That's a long time ago, over two decades. And here we have these Old Testament prophecies and New Testament prophecies. They have several prophecies in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they talk about that prophet. Who is he? Who is this man? Several times he is mentioned. Now, we need to be like the Bereans, that when something like this comes up, they were more noble, Paul said, because they were more diligent to prove what God's truth was or was not. They wanted to prove it or disprove it. So you and I certainly need this attitude and have an open mind. Thayer's Lexicon says the Jews believed that prophet was to arise just before the Messiah, or the Anointed One, just before the Messiah. So he's the last one, the last prophet in this end time, and in the Bible, for that matter, and the coming of Jesus Christ up to that time. It says also, according to these commentaries, the Jews thought there was another prophet to come just before the coming of God. Langs goes on to say, "This particular prophet, therefore, is meant who should complete the forerunning office of Elijah." So he continues right on and he completes the work of Elijah, and both of those works in this end time, the Elijah and that prophet, tell us this is what happens. You have the Elijah work, and then you have the Laodicean era that comes after the Philadelphia era, and they've gotten lukewarm, and so that work just fell apart, and something had to be done, and so God brought that prophet on the scene, and he delivered this final message about the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. The Jews expected and still expect that prophet to come before Christ. They still believe it today. And it is biblical. That is going to happen before the Messiah gets here. It's going to happen. And it already has and is in the process. So Herbert W. Armstrong died in 1986. He was that end time Elijah, and you can prove that. He restored all things spiritually. So we have to know something about this man if he was that powerful and did that much of God's work. He restored all things. And so he did a great work. And then when he died, his own church became lukewarm, and 95% of them just fell away from that. So you can see why God said, okay, we need to raise that work back up and do what it says there in Matthew 17, verses 10 and 11, where God said he would restore all things. All things. In verse 22 and 23 in John 1, here's what it says. "Then said they unto him, Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What say you yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." The voice. Well, that was what the voice at that time, John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus Christ's first coming. But here, if you have a work that is wrecked, then what are you going to do? Well, God tells you very clearly in Revelation 10 and verse 11. Let's see that. Revelation 10 and verse 11, and here's what it says. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again. See, well, why prophesy again? Well, because the Elijah's work or Herbert W. Armstrong's work was rejected, and they turned away from it, 95% of God's people. And so God says, well, you, that prophet, must prophesy again. You have to do it again. There has to be my work always there. It must never fail. And so this is what they were doing. They had to prophesy again. And it says in verse 11 of Revelation 10, and he said unto me, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And that's, again, after the end time type of Elijah is gone. He's no longer around. And that prophet comes on the scene to deliver the final message and the final last opportunity for Israel to really turn to God. This will be the last chance. And three nations of Israel that are going to have some serious problems, very serious problems, if they don't heed God's warning message. Now, you can read that in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. We've had that for many, many years, and it explains all of that to you. But God says that we have to preach and teach a message about many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. If so many of the people are gone, you know there's only a really tiny flock that has to do God's work. And they are supporters, that 5% of that prophet. And that's how they get the message out and the work done. Verse 1 of chapter 11. And there was given me, singular, just one person, there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So that word rise really means resurrection. Rise up. There's a work to be done. Come out of your sleep. There is a work to be done, and we have to prophesy again. Now, that's something we should be doing always, is to rise up and take a stand for God. Take a stand for Him. That's the only way we'll ever please God. We have to do that. But here, that prophet has authority and is able to measure the church and the altar, which is a type of the ministry. But here is a man who has to deliver a message. He has a covenant with God, that prophet. So that prophet and the Philadelphians rise as Christ commands, and the Laodiceans are blind and just asleep. But this lukewarm era is the one that followed the Philadelphia era, which was the time of that Elijah type that restored all things. So notice what it says here in verse 1. We're talking about in verse 1, the inner court, and that is where God dwells. Now, God does dwell in His church wherever it is. He said, Christ said, even when He came to this earth the first time, He said, I'm going to build my church. It is my church, and it will never die. That is an absolute promise from God. So it has to be here on this earth somewhere, that little flock. Where is it? But what a blessing to just understand about that prophet and what is going on and what kind of work God is doing again. He has to do it again. Revelation 11, verse 1, it says, I'll read it again, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple, Greek, naos, the inner court, where God dwells, of God, and the altar, the ministry, a symbol of the ministry, and them that worship therein. The inner court and the altar, which symbolizes the ministry, must be measured or corrected. Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple, the outer court, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Those people are going to get into some serious trouble because they are in the outer court now. They were in the inner court. And now they've turned into the outer court. And because of that, God says, I'm going to punish them with a great tribulation if they don't repent of what they have done. That's what he's going to do. The Laodiceans are now in the outer court. But notice that prophet, what he continues with right up until this point, and all kinds of hope explained here. Verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our eternal and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So this world and its kingdoms is about to become the kingdom of God on this earth. What a wonderful, wonderful future we have. Even if we don't understand that or don't know anything about it, it's still going to happen. God is going to make it happen. This is God's prophet here that is telling us about this wonderful future we have. And of course, Jesus Christ is the one that does it, not any man, not any prophet. It's God's doing. It's all God's work. If you look at the prophet Ezekiel, he's also talks about that prophet. His warning message was for Israel, but Israel had gone into captivity over 100 years when he prophesied that. So his prophecy is specifically for this end time, for today, right now. And there are some hard prophecies to really come to grips with in that book. But we must do it. Notice what it says in chapter 33 and verse 7. So you, O son of man, I have sent you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth. Hear this word at my mouth. I'm going to speak it to you. And warn them from me. Warn them from God. It's not about men. It's about what God's doing. And what men are not doing. This is not a watchman that the people chose. See, God says, I have set you a watchman. Now, is that a serious work that has to be done? Well, I should say it is. Now, here's what you have to do. Say unto them, say this to them, the prophet. This is that prophet. Say this unto them, because it doesn't tell you who this man is. Well, he's that prophet. If you just read the context, you can see that. As I live, says the eternal God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Well, God doesn't want to see us die. He doesn't want to see the death of nations, but that's what he's talking about. Is that the only way he can get their attention? Mostly, that is the way it is. That's human nature. But this is really, you see, again, this is still about a watchman work, but there's more to it. And this omnipotent God says, look, you have to turn, and get back to where you left, especially those Laodiceans, but this is also warning the world as well. And then verse 30, it talks about a message from God that's coming. And verse 31 just goes on to say most of God's own people will refuse to even obey the message. And then verse 33, notice what it says. And when this comes to pass, and lo, it will come. It says, behold, it is coming. It's coming fast, and you can see it, and you can prove it, and you can know it. It will come. Then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. They won't know it. That prophet is there. They won't know it until after these things come to pass, unless they repent. And there's no mention of that here, but it could be here if they would just come to grips with this warning. But what are the chances of that happening? See, here you have a watchman and a prophet. And Ezekiel was not a watchman, he was a prophet. But here you have both a watchman and the prophet. So there is a powerful work, and God's prophet is taking care of that. Now in Zephaniah 1 and verse 14, notice this. Verse 14 reads, the great day of the eternal is near. It is near, and haste greatly. Look around, everything is really moving fast. Yes, the great day of the Lord is getting very close. And that's going to be a tough time for some people, a lot of them, as well as the great tribulation, if they don't heed God's warning. They must do that. Even the voice of the day of the eternal, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. It is the voice. Well, no name. It's that prophet again. Amazing. That prophet is just in a lot of different places. Verse 1 and 2 of Zephaniah 2. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the eternal came upon you, before the day of the eternal's anger come upon you. Four times God says before. Be sure you turn to God before this happens. That's what I want you to do. See, the voice, it says in the Zephaniah 3 and verses 1 and 2. It talks about the voice. We have to hear that voice. There is a voice, and we can prove where that voice is and what it is, and we can know all about what is going to be done. But you have to realize that we have to do something. And what we need to do is get the material we offer you from this work and really put it to practice. And all you can be right there helping God get His message to the world, and you can share the very throne of David with Jesus Christ. You can do that. You can be the bride of Christ. You can be there with Jesus Christ on His throne forever. What a future, if we only will choose it. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
Your Bible describes an unnamed prophet who will prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. This man is on the scene today. Learn how to prove the identity of that prophet. The Jews asked John the Baptist if he was that prophet. John said no. The context of this exchange reveals that two men will prepare the way for the return of Jesus Christ, an end-time type of Elijah and an unnamed prophet. The Elijah has come and gone already. That prophet is alive and at work today. Where is he? Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Who is That Prophet?, to discover the identity of the last man God is using to declare a warning message before Christ's return. This is possibly the most controversial biblical subject in this end time, but you can prove that God works through only one man at a time in His church. Which man is God using now? Study Who is That Prophet? To find out. Also request Gerald Fleury's free book, The New Throne of David. God's one true church today is home of that prophet, and also the very throne from which Christ will rule when he returns to earth. Those who do God's work in this end time have the honor of presenting the new throne of David to our Savior and King at his second coming. Like the biblical truth about that prophet, the revelation about a new throne of David in God's church today is controversial. But you can prove it from your Bible. Don't believe any man, believe the Word of God. Study the new throne of David to unlock this spectacular truth. You will also receive a free copy of Gerald Fleury's book, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, and his booklet, Prophesy Again. God dwells in his church today. To know where God is working and what he is doing, you must believe the clear prophecies of your Bible. That prophet has a strong warning message to deliver to the world while also measuring God's church against God's perfect law. God tasked that prophet with finishing the Elijah work that came before him. All this takes place just before the kingdom of God is set up on earth to bring peace and joy to all mankind. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Who is That Prophet? The New Throne of David, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, and Prophesy Again. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Who is That Prophet? The New Throne of David, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, and Prophesy Again. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.